الشعر رفعه بالله الشيخ أبو العارف بالله رومي وخ تبريد دوران هذا الشيخ حكيم محمد أقصد أبن أمر الله ملقده هذا كلام ناش شريف آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں, آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں, آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں, آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں, جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں, دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ, دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں, جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں, آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں, گر نہ صلی اعلی ہو زباں پر, گر نہ صلی اعلی ہو زباں پر کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں, کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں, ورفعنا کا انعام یہ ہے, ورفعنا کا انعام یہ ہے, آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں, آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں, دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں, شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے, شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے, عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جاں میں, عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جاں میں, کوئی سمجھے گا کیا غیر ممکن, کوئی سمجھے گا کیا غیر ممکن, آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں, صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں, دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں, سبز گنبد پہ جس کی نظر ہو, سبز گنبد پہ جس کی نظر ہو وہ بھلا جائے کس گلستاں میں, وہ بھلا جائے کس گلستاں میں, نام کیسا ہے پیارا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, نام کیسا ہے پیارا محمد جن کے صدقے میں ایمان ہے جامے, جن کے صدقے میں ایمان ہے جامے, دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جامے, یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت, یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت جو ہے اسلام سارے جہاں میں, جو ہے اسلام سارے جہاں میں, کیا کہوں رفعت شان گنبد, کیا کہوں رفعت شان گنبد, کچھ نہیں دم ہے اختر زباں میں، کچھ نہیں دم ہے اختر زباں میں، دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں، شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جان میں، آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں، دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں.
الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to getting the friendship of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, Allah has mentioned taqwa in this ayat, and also one great means to become the friend of Allah ta'ala is to get the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, who will love Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah will love that person. And to love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we must have sunnah in our life. We must have Durood Sharif on our tongues, and in our heart must be the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. And in order for that love in the heart, sunnats will also develop that love, Durood Sharif will also develop that love, and how much we come to know, that is the marifat, recognition of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this poem will teach us some great aspects of what the great position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. Let us listen and let us realize and think about it and bring it into us, that we realize how great Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. Also, we must remember that in the system of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, there is no vacuum. So if we don't have the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the heart, then there will be somebody else's love. And very sadly today, it will be the love of some material thing, which may be permissible, and in many cases, it will be the love of some haram thing also. Some film star, some soccer player, some sportsman, etc. And we will like die for that person. If we don't develop the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then these other things, some singer, etc., all that love will come. It won't stay empty. There will be the love of something. Whether it is perhaps even which is permissible, but perhaps over the limit, like our business, our money, our home, our wives, our children, the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must be more than all this also. It must be the greatest. So it's very important that we work towards this, we become conscious of it to try and develop the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and in fact the takmeel, the perfection of iman of on Allah ta'ala is to have the greatest love after that of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So much we should have that love that we just want to follow the sunnahs under any and all conditions. And that Durood Sharif becomes natural on our tongue. May Allah, and that we want to spread the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the whole world, and we want to see that the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is alive and all the aspects of deen. So Hazrat says, aapka zikr hai do jahan mein. And the reality of the matter is, and why shouldn't we recognize who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, when the remembrance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in both the worlds. The whole day, 24 hours, somewhere or the other, azan is taking place. Somewhere or the other, a child is being born, and azan is being given in the right ear, iqama in the left ear. Somewhere somebody is passing away, janaza namaz is being made and durood sharif is being read. So continuously, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has made a system that he is being remembered and salawat, his name is being taken and durood is being recited. And there are so many great ashiqs of Allah's Rasul who are reading 1,000 times durood, 10,000 times durood in the whole world. Allah's ashiqs, whether they are males, females, whether they are in jungles, whether they are in cities, but everywhere. There are those ashiqs of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who are continuously engaged in salawat. So, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's position, aapka martaba is jahan mein. Your position in this world, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jaise khurshid ho aasma mein. It is like the sun is in the sky. How the sun is so bright and it overpowers everything, all the stars, the moon and everything. A person who has got the eyes to see Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's position is in this world like this. May Allah put it in our heart. If the sun is out and a person doesn't see the sun, he is unaware that the sun is there. What a sad case it will be. And if we are unaware, oblivious, we are unmindful that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's position is like the sun, and we are not even thinking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are just unmindful, what a sad case it will be. If the others can't see, they can't see. But we who profess the kalima, and we profess the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are not aware and conscious of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's even existence, then that will be a sad case. So may we realize. Dosto, ye hai shahre Madina. Oh my friend, this is the city of Medina. Jisse Islam phela jahan mein. Which city Allah has chosen for Islam to spread in the whole world. And it is not just a matter of Islam spreading, but it is a matter of justice spreading. It is a matter of loyalty spreading. It is a matter of Allah's ibadah spreading. It is a matter of the oneness of Allah spreading in the world. Justice in the world, fairness in the world, husbands being good to their wives, wives being good to their husbands, all the spreading in the world. This Allah chose the great and honorable city of Medina Sharif for that. Karna salli ala hu zubha par, kya asar hoga aahu fuga mein. And if there isn't durood on the tongue, then even our du'as don't have that effect. When durood is on the tongue, du'a is readily accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in du'a, when a person gets the tawfiq of crying, tear drops come out from his eyes, which Hazrat Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah alayhi said, is a receipt from Allah ta'ala that your du'a is accepted. When the tear drops come out. But everyone can't shed tears. Everyone who shed tears can't shed tears all the time. But everyone can read durood sharif. And the dua which is between two duroods will definitely be accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whether we see the effect now or later, but it is definitely accepted. So durood sharif is such a great thing. Then also at the same time, we all have to ask ourselves, how much of durood do we read? How much is durood on our tongue? And when we do read salawat, with how much of enjoyment and how much do we cherish the recitation of durood sharif? وَرَفَعْنَا كَإِنْعَامْ يَهِ Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكْ We have made very high and honorable your remembrance. What is that? How? كَآپْكَ ذِكْرْ هَي دو جَهَاں مِن That you are being remembered in both the worlds. Yeah, in this world it is clear. Allah Ta'ala also. On the arsh of Allah, the kalima is written. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is written there. On the doors of Jannat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is written there. Everywhere, the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah clearly says in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ All the malaika also standing continuously durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The malaika are here in this world also, they are there in the other world also, all are sending durood. So great is the durood and the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all who are, and Allah ta'ala himself is sending durood. And durood is rahmat-e-khassa, the very special mercies of Allah ta'ala. شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے. And this is a condition to have perfect ایمان. Until this condition is not fulfilled, a person's ایمان is not perfect and complete. عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جان میں. That the love of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam must be in our hearts, in our lives. We must be living like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his sunnat, and his love must be. And when we do practice his sunnat, may Allah give us the tawfiq that we remember at that time that this is the sunnat of my Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. For example, we stepped out of the masjid with the right leg. So we should reverse again, that I missed out the sunnat. And then we step out with the left leg. We stepped into the toilet by mistake with the right leg. We should reverse again. And my sunnat of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Maulana Siddiq Bandwi rahmatullah alayhi, most probably it was Hazrat, when his khadims were taking off his socks or something, they took off from the right leg first. And he got like a shock. And he told them, what are you doing? How can you do that? Like that, that sunnat must become our life. That even like if you are tired and you are not in your right senses, but how can you do something against sunnat? May Allah give us that love and that position, inshallah. Koi samjhega kya khair mumkin. How can anyone understand? It is impossible to understand. Aapka rutba dono jahan mein. That what your position is in the two worlds, besides Allah, nobody else knows the true position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So great. A person can exhaust himself mentally, spiritually, in every way to try and explain, think of the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He cannot. Which a poet says in short words, Ba'adil khuda tuhi buzurg qissa mukhtasar. After Allah is the position of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam together cannot make the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So great is our Nabi. But at the same time, what is our relationship with our Nabi? Sabz gumbat pe jiski nazar ho, wo bhala jaye kis gul sita mein. And a person whose eyes on the green dome, that is on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a person, where will he go anywhere else in the world? He'll just want to, his thoughts are with Medina Sharif. When he gets a chance, then he will just want to rush to Medina Sharif and be present there. And he won't find peace anywhere else. Anywhere else in all the cities of the world, all the whatever is happening in the world, whatever, his heart will be just with Medina Sharif. May Allah bless us with such a condition that our heart is attached strongly to Medina Sharif. Naam kaisa hai piyara Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautiful is not just the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is also, it is dependent on the love of which a person has. There were those Sahaba who said that before they accepted in Islam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face, waliyazu billah, was the most unliked face. His name was the most unliked. When they accepted Islam, he changed completely. They said now his face was the most beloved in our eyes. So it's our condition. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's position is as it is, so great. But it is, when we relate to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a reflection of our condition. How we love the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How we love everything that is attributed, associated, that has got association, nisbat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will love all those things also. May Allah bless us with that. And we have to work for that. And that is why Allah has sent us in this world. To achieve, to acquire this love of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Jin ke sadqe mein iman hai jahan mein. In whose sadqa, it is by the great sacrifices and the honorable position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Islam today is in the whole world it has spread. What sacrifices Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam made, we cannot imagine how much sacrifices Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and were together with the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. We know the instance which was most probably of Hazrat Abu Talha radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Umm Talha radiyallahu ta'ala anha most probably, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some guests and he asked, who will host my guests? Then he also took one guest home and not knowing what is the condition at home. There are different aspects of the narration. In some that there was only enough food for the children. And others only for the husband and wife. Whatever, he told the wife to lull the children to sleep, to put the food, and with some excuse to put off the lamb, and that they won't eat, and they were hungry. And they let the guests eat its full. If these were not angels in this world, farishtas, then what were they? And not only them, alhamdulillah, in the annals of Islam, great, great people. And what we have studied and seen, the ulama of Dioban, they are also a reflection of the Sahaba, a reflection, how they sacrificed for the for the guests of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani, rahmatullah alayhi, once a guest came and see him, a visitor, was a student also most probably, and his murid also. The Hazrat was not at home at that time, so they showed him the Mehman Khana. This is the room, you'll sleep here. He slept on the bed. And when Hazrat came, Hazrat's life was of a Mujahid's life, whole life. Middle of the night he came and he slept away. He didn't disturb the house people, anyone. On the floor he slept, with a brick as his pillow. And when this person woke up and he saw Hazrat sleeping, he was like, he just could not imagine it, take it. Then when he told Hazrat, Hazrat said that, you are my guest. And ikram man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fal yukrim zaifa. He must honor his guest. So how he sacrificed. Today is very, very, very difficult for us to do. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh on one occasion came and they prepared a room, not a five-star, what a beautiful room, everything of the best there. They showed Hazrat, Hazrat went in, a cat was sleeping on the bed, Hazrat slept on the carpet the whole night. When they found out this, realized it in the morning, they said, Hazrat, how the bed was prepared for you? He said, and we know when a cat is sleeping, how in a deep, sweet sleep it is enjoying. He said, how could I disturb the cat? وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Not only for humans, for these are those people. So what great people. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is because of them that this Islam spread in the world like that. And today we are not prepared, brother is not prepared to sacrifice for his brother, son for his father, wife for the husband, husband for the wife. Allahu Akbar. May Allah bring this, and all this will come when that love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, love of Allah Ta'ala, love of Akhirat, that is what we have to make effort for. When these things will develop in us, then inshallah we will have all these things. Yehi faizani noori nabuwat. This is the faith, this is the barakat, this is the goodness that has flourished in the world of the nubuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Johi Islam sare jahame. That Islam is in the whole world. And alhamdulillah, today Islam is becoming alive, not only as far as knowing or as far as talking, but as far as practicing also. There are people who are sacrificing like this. Kya kahu raf'ate shani gumbat. What can I say about the great honor of the position of the gumbat, the dome, the green dome of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has got nisbat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the dome also has become so, the camel that was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that camel will be in Jannat. Those animals also that had nisbat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be in Jannat. The dog of Ashabi Kahf, this dog will be in Jannat also. So just if animals have got that, Allahu Akbar. The jinnat who heard the Quran Sharif and accepted Islam, their position became so high. So anyone, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat, one great buzurg, he says that the stem of the palm tree, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hold when giving khutbah, and then the mimbar was made, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the mimbar. He said the stem of the tree, like a dead thing, but it cried in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, no more holds me to give the khutbah now. Now the mimbar was made, so he says, oh people, and he used to cry, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. He says that take a lesson, when a dead thing has got so much love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then where is our love for Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam? And today the solution to all our problems, whether it's modernism, whether it's atheism, whether it's whatever it is, if we have love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that convincing love, that true love, that this is the way, then we won't be, nobody can take us away from that. If we have got the true love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we haven't realized it, the enemy has realized it, and the full effort is in every way to break that love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we have to just do one thing, cultivate and develop that love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and all is sunnah. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Kuch nahi dam hai akhtar zubaan mein. Hadrat says that I haven't got that ability in my mouth to explain the honor of the gumbat, then of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Each thing of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah ta'ala bless us with this true love, inshallah. Jazakumullah. MashaAllah, we've got our brother Abdul Rahim here from Australia, who says he has come for a minor service now. He's a major service in Ramzan. Now he's come for a minor service. May Allah Ta'ala make it possible for us to fulfill the rights of our satis when they come spend time here in the Khanqah. They come for their service, and if the service is not done, then it's a sad case. May Allah make it that such real khankas, living khankas can be established, not only in Ramzan, but throughout the year. That whenever patients come, they can be all treated and seen to. And may Allah Ta'ala, and in any case, just with that love and that enthusiasm, right from Australia to come, and Allah is watching. And we have many cases where these people who made such sacrifices, Allah Ta'ala raised the position. And according to one's intention, Allah Ta'ala gives. May Allah Ta'ala bless us. He will just give us a little bit of his kar guzari. I was also very inspired when I heard that how, mashallah, he accepted Islam. He will explain to us a few things, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ibarihi alladhin astafa ma ba'd. Usually, as Hazrat just mentioned, unless somebody asks, I usually don't make mention of it, but in talking with Hazrat over the last few days, then Hazrat did ask, and I shared the experience with Hazrat, and he felt that it may be a source of inspiration, maybe, inshallah. And whatever I'm going to mention is just the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was born in Australia, in the city of Perth, in a non-Muslim home. My father was a Baptist, and my mother was a Roman Catholic, staunch Roman Catholic. So from a young age, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, and you know, regularly went to church and that sort of thing. And from a young age, maybe about 9 or 10 years old, I started to become what's called a candle bearer. So if you've ever seen, the priest will walk, and in front of him will be somebody holding the candle. So I started holding the candle. That's where I started. And after that, after doing some service for the priest and dedicating my time, then I went up another level, which is the cross bearer. So in front of the candle bearers, you'll see somebody standing with a big stick with a cross on the top. So that was what I was doing. And I carried on like that, you know, dedicating my time to the church. And when I was 12 years old, my father one night went to sleep. I'm the eldest in the family, and he never woke up from his sleep. He had a heart attack in his sleep. And at the time, obviously, being 12 years old was a very hard thing to understand. But one thing that came from that was the question of what is the purpose of life. That even at that young age, I didn't understand death, I didn't understand anything, but the question lingered in my mind that what is this life really about? That's the main thing. So this question lingered in my mind, but I thought the answer was in the church. So I even dedicated my time more to the church. And I then reached another level, which is just under the priest, which is a concept of giving communion. That's a very silly concept. Basically, the priest, he blesses the bread and the wine, and the Christians say that the bread is the flesh of Isa alayhi salam, and the wine is the blood. And then everyone lines up, and my job used to be that I would have a cup of this bread, which has been blessed, and they would line up, and I would say, this is the body of Christ, and they would say, Ameen. And then I put this into the mouth of the person, and they step aside and make the sign of the cross. it doesn't make sense, it's not supposed to make any sense. And then the priest spoke to me and he said, look, the numbers of the priesthood is getting very less. Can you consider going to the Vatican? So now that put the brakes on a little bit, because I always wanted to have a family, and especially in the Catholic religion, the priests do not marry, they remain celibate. So I said, I'll think about it. And whilst thinking about it, not knowing that really it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already opening the doors of Hidayah, that I started to see flaws in the church. I started to see things which didn't make sense at all. For example, we would have to go and ask Tawbah from the priest. You would go to him, tell him what you've done, and he would give you some wazaif and say you're forgiven. But he used to come to our house and he would get so drunk that we'd have to send him home in a taxi. So I was thinking that who is he asking forgiveness from? That if we're going to ask him for forgiveness, and my heart wasn't accepting it. And I started to see many other things that didn't make sense. The turning point was at the time of Easter. Now, Easter on the Christian calendar is a celebration of the Trinity and the crucifixion in particular. So we used to wear very similar to this, a white robe and a cross around our neck, and of course holding the cross. And at Easter time they bring a big cross about 2 meters high with a statue of Isa alayhi salam on there, and they reenact the whole crucifixion. It's called the 11 stations of the cross. So they stop at certain places and they say, this is where Isa alayhi salam got the nail in this hand and this hand, and then this statue, this poor statue that's been pinned everywhere, comes to the altar. And then it's placed at the altar, and every person in the church then has to come and kiss the feet of this statue. And myself, like a bichara, I had to stand there with a white cloth, and the ladies were leaving different color lipstick on the feet. So I kept having to rub the lipstick off. And while I'm doing it, I'm just thinking, this is mad. This is really crazy that this thing cannot do anything. It's just a statue. And something in my heart was saying, I don't want to kneel down and kiss this statue. But the priest gave me a nudge with his elbow and he made me do it. But when I knelt down to kiss that statue, I've never felt more humiliated in my life. I felt such a disgust in my heart that I went back to the room. I didn't say anything to anyone. I took off my robe, I took off my cross, and I never went to church again. And in this stage, I started looking at different religions, Buddhism, Hinduism. But every religion other than Islam worships Allah through an intermediary. So if it fit that criteria, I just pushed it aside. One day while I was at home, there was an Indonesian family living, Muslim family living on our street. They were not very practicing, but my brother brought home a little book on the five principles of Islam. And he just put it there on the table. And I picked it up. And as I opened up and it started talking about the one Allah, the unseen Allah, that Allah, that one that sees everything, that hears everything, immediately my heart said, this is something different and this is something special. The problem I had was, at the time in Perth, Muslims were very scarce. We had maybe 2 masjids. I think there was 1 halal butcher, if I remember correctly. So now the problem was finding decent Muslims, which was very hard to find. Eventually, through a friend, I found, it happened to be a South African family that, alhamdulillah, were somewhat practicing. They had, first time I saw beard. So when I walked inside and I saw the beard, I said, my whole life I've been worshipping Isa alayhi salam, who has a beard. And the Christians put a picture of, in every house you will see a picture of Isa alayhi salam with a thawb and a beard. But you don't see any Christians with beards or thawb, but now I'm seeing it. And mashallah, they had a few words with me. I wasn't quite convinced, and I like to do my own research. Eventually I found my way to the masjid and I got a copy of the English translation of the Quran. And it was such that I opened up at Surah Ar-Rahman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again and again, فَبِأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ أَتُكَذِّبَانِ, that which of the favors of your Lord are you going to deny? And I felt, but by the end of that surah and reading it, I felt that maybe at that moment it's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put iman in my heart, and I told my friend to take me to the masjid and say shahada. So alhamdulillah, shahada was done. But now the problem was how to learn about deen, how to learn about Islam. very difficult, and it was difficult. But in that process, there was a world ijtima in 96. And again, mashallah, a jamaat from South Africa came. Three brothers, I remember in particular, some brothers may be familiar with them. Uncle Suleiman Patel, they affectionately known as Pistons. Uncle Muhammad, I think, Varachia, that used to run Ahlan wa Sahlan here. And Hafiz Kaka, I remember them particularly. They grabbed myself, and by this time my second brother had said Shahada as well. So the two of us, now when we saw them, they looked like somebody out of a movie. You know, we've never seen these guys look like the real deal. So they took us, and they took us 300 kilometers south, and now Uncle Suleiman Patel, they don't call him Pistons for nothing. He gave me a 3.5 hour bayan from Perth all the way to 300 kilometers. And mashallah, it was a great turning point in our lives. Thereafter again, coming back to Perth, the Jamaat left, we were left in the same dilemma. I then made an intention to go for my first chilla. And whilst making that intention for that chilla, through one of the old workers of the eastern states of Australia, my two younger brothers said Shahada, just before I left. So now, alhamdulillah, I spent the chilla and then tried to dedicate my time to the effort of tabliq, etc. But I became very attached to the kitab of Mawlana Zakariya, rahmatullahi alayhi, which is his autobiography. I was really attached to that book, and I read how Hazrat Shaykh used to have his marriages, his deal with the deaths in his family, and these type of things. And also in there, now came the topic of khanka, tariqa, murid, shaykh, etc. So we're now faced with this dilemma that what is all this about? I went and spent some time in Nizamuddin, and for the main reason to get to the bottom of it. And alhamdulillah, one of the muqim in Nizamuddin gave us a lot of time. When we went to ask him about it, he said, what is your intuition about this? About khanka, about tariqa? And we said, look, to be honest, we're very confused. That's why we're here. He took a book from his shelf, Professor Nadir Ali Khan Sahab. He just took a book from his shelf called Tasawwuf Kya Hai by Sheikh Manzoor Nu'mani rahmatullahi alayhi. And he said, just read from this page and come back tomorrow. Alhamdulillah, maybe the barakah of being there, basically the result was that we went back to Australia realizing that whatever we are doing, it is very important that we have somebody as a guide in our life, somebody to look over our shoulder, and the importance of seeking advices from elders and seniors. So now I found myself in Australia thinking, what shirk am I going to find down under? There wasn't many shirks, in fact, there wasn't any at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so kind that I didn't have to go looking. That within a short period of time, our beloved Hazrat came to our doorstep. And literally, to our doorstep, Hazrat and Upper came and spent a few days with us. And in short, I placed my hand in the hand of Hazrat. And thereafter, the benefits of having someone as your guide, that, you know, we can live our lives, and we can live it the way we want, or sometimes we can live it with the perception that we think we know what is good for us. But the reality is that our elders and our pious mashayikh, they know what is good for us, because they have treaded this path. So the benefits we found by connecting ourselves with Hazrat, that so many doors of khair opened to us. Alhamdulillah, make dua. I started studying kitabs a few years back. I'm just a few years left, inshallah. My children are doing their hibs. My oldest son has 9 juz left, inshallah, to finish. But also from the point of islah, that Hazrat asked us to start one small majlis there. And with Hazrat's dua, the majlis is becoming a means of people changing their lives. That whether it's leaving interest, whether it's related to parda, whether it's about the beard, that through the teachings of our mashayikh and our akabir, that people's lives are changing. And that is the benefit of sohbah. That is the benefit of staying with, coming to majlis, coming to khanka, coming and being with our mashayikh, is then when we'll learn the real essence of deen. But that is on the condition that it's done with ikhlas. I remember Hazrat, I'll finish on this, that Hazrat mentioned last Ramadan. He said, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's a riwayah, that more or less the meaning that whoever stays quiet for 40 days, that the fountain of wisdom will gush forth from their bosom. So one person heard this and he stayed quiet for 40 days. And after 40 days, he went to the Shaykh and he said, Shaykh, I have a problem. So Shaykh said, what's the problem? He said, there's no fountain. There's no fountain and even my tap's not working. So what's going on? So the Shaykh said, why did you remain quiet? And he said, because I wanted the fountain of wisdom. He said, the hadith mentions lillahi ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether we're coming to majlis, we're giving kargozari, we're spending time in jamaat, we're involved in makatib work, we're involved in madrasa darul ulum, if it is not coupled with ikhlas for the sake of Allah, then it is nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all ikhlas, myself first. And my request is that you make dua, that inshallah with your duas, your pious duas, that inshallah one day in Australia we will have fully fledged khankas running where people can come and get their ikhlas. Inshallah you'll all make dua for us, inshallah. So jazakallah
khairan. May Allah all inspire us and to improve ourselves, and it really strengthens a person's iman, how Allah Ta'ala works ways that people are accepting Islam in the whole world. And just the ash'ar that we read, this is all the faizan of the nur of nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nothing else. After 1400 years, whether it's down under or whether it's anywhere else, how Islam is spreading in the world. And it's going to spread. May Allah give us a share in that. Islam is spreading and it's going to spread much more. And nobody will be able to stop it. And may Allah save us. May Allah make us hadina muhtadin, those who are guides and who guide others, who are guided also, guides for others and who are guided themselves also, and not make us dhalina mudhillin, who are misguided, who misguide other people and who are misguided themselves also. May Allah make us hadina muhtadin, that we be the source of inspiration to others. Like mashallah, brother Abdul Rahim is really a source of great, great inspiration for us. May Allah make us all like that and take the work of deen from all of us, inshallah. Yeah, we were reading the questions and answers of this person which he had written to Hadrat. And very important points are discussed here. This is also one point which perhaps all of us, we find ourselves sometimes confused, perplexed with the situation. So he writes there, mujh mein dikhawe ki bhi aadat hai. I've got the habit of showing, doing things for name, fame, to show. I've got that habit also, he writes. Jab bhi kabhi koi achha kaam karta hoon, to dil mein kuch dikhawa sa paida hota hai. Whenever I do some good work, then in my heart it comes that it must be for show. People must see, people must praise me. Dorane namaz bhi aisa hota hai. While I'm making namaz, this thought also comes to me. Kapre pehente waqt bhi. And even when I wear my clothes, that people must praise that how I'm dressed, etc. Aur shisha dekhte waqt bhi paida hota hai. And when I look at myself in the mirror, then also this thought comes, that people must praise me, that tell me that I'm dressed very well, I look very well, I read my namaz very well, all these things. What a beautiful answer Hazrat has given. Jawab. Kaam karne se pehle, niyat Allah ki rida ki kare. Before doing any amal, just make then the niyat, I'm doing this solely for the pleasure of Allah. That is sufficient. Just make that niyat. Dikhawa irada se hota hai. To do things for show, this is by your intention. You actually make the intention, I'm doing this to show people. Then it is called riya. When you say, I'm doing this for Allah's pleasure, then it's for Allah's pleasure. Hazrat explains further. Dikhawa irada se hota hai, khyal aane se nahi. Not just by the thought coming, that this is now for show I'm doing it. That thought that comes, irada and thought are two different things. One is a thought that I think this or that, and one is an intention. When you make the intention that I'm doing this to show people, you are going for Umrah, and your intention, you make your intention, I'm doing it for people. You went twice in a year, you paid even the 2,000 extra riyals for the second visa, and then, but you did it for Allah's pleasure. But the thought came to you that people will say that I'm gone, I even spent 2,000 extra riyals, but still I went. That thought is nothing. It is your intention that is important. Dil mein dikhawe ka khiyal aana aur irada dikhawe ka na hona ye riya nahi hai, waswasa hai. In the heart, dil mein dikhawe ka khiyal aana, the thought comes in the heart that I'm doing this for sure. That's a thought. Aur irada dikhawe ka na hona, and your intention is not to show people. Your intention is that I'm doing this ibadah, whatever I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The thought came in your heart that I'm doing this for sure. Riya nahi hai. Just the, without the intention, it is not riya. Waswasa hai. It is a whispering of shaitan. It is waswasa. And shaitan tries his utmost in everything to take us away from deen, from a'mal, etc. For example, you made wudu. Now shaitan will put waswasa. Your drops of urine came out. And now your wuzu is broken, your namaz won't be correct. In namaz, shaitan will put all other thoughts in your mind. No concentration. You see now what is the use of such a namaz? No use. So those are all wasawis, waswasa. They are not harmful at all. You must just carry on. These things are there, but they are not harmful. Har amal ke, and for safety's sake, har amal ke baad ye bhi kehle. After every amal, say this to Allah Ta'ala, ki ya Allah, agar mere dil ke kehrayo mein riya ka zarra bhi ho, that in the depths of my heart, even if there is one grain, one atom of show, to usse muaf farma de, then you, O Allah, forgive that. Aur mujhe riya aur tamam razail se paak farma dijiye. And you purify me from riya, doing things for show, and of all evils you purify me. So this is also proof that you don't want to do it for sure. That nobody knows that this what you are making now, tawbah, istighfar, nobody knows. And you are making dua to Allah, ya Allah, if there was some show, if I did it for sure, and it's hidden, then you you forgive me for that. And you purify me from that, and from all other evil qualities also you purify me. So, and also in another place, Hazrat writes, and it is from example of Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that a fly sitting on a mirror looks like it's in the mirror. But in reality, it's not in the mirror. It's outside of the mirror. Just like that riya, for many people, it looks like it's in the heart, that I'm doing it for riya. But it's that waswasa, it is that thought, that khiyal, that is outside the heart. It is not inside the heart. But you yourself also think it's inside the heart. So for that, just make tawbah istighfar. Don't worry anything else. So this is very, very important. If we understand this, then we end. Many of our ulama say that whatever we do, generally, everyone, you are doing it for Allah's sake. We all came for majlis. Nobody came with the intention that I'm going there to for show, for name, for anything. We all came, we want to please Allah. We want our Islah. In our heart, what is there? We want our Islah. We want qurbat to ilallah. We want closeness to Allah Ta'ala. So we can. We're going to make Isha now. Nobody is going to think that I'm making Isha for show. I'm doing it. Now, it is a different thing that the thought will come. That I'm doing it, I'm reading my namaz a bit more carefully, I'm reading it a bit longer, that I'm doing it for show. The thought shaitan will put, but don't worry about the thought. And for safety's sake, after that, just make tawbah istighfar, and by that Allah forgive all the sins. So, in fact, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written that one great grammarian, Nahwi, Sibwe, who is a famous grammarian. But his aqaid were not all correct. But in one matter, he said, according to all the grammarians, the greatest pronoun is the first person, I. So he said, in my eyes, I disagree with all the grammarians on this point. In my eyes, the greatest pronoun is Allah. Allah. On that, Allah said, you honored my name, I forgive you everything. And you go to Jannah. So this is that don't worry about these wasawis. Our aqaid today, we have to work on them. To very dangerous times we are living in. But everything, the more a person has got that, and generally everyone has got that sincerity in him. This is shaitan's wasawis that he puts into our hearts. So we must not be so much concerned about that. It is for this reason also, just see how our Shariat really, may Allah make it that we understand, that after making wudu, to sprinkle a few, a little water on the private part, this is also mustahab, sunnat of wudu. And the reason for that is then that waswasa doesn't come. Now, if you are sure any drop of urine came out after you made your istinja, after your wudu, if you are sure, then of course wuzu is not made. You have to go and make your wuzu again. Make sure that no drops of urine come out. But this istibra, making sure that every last drop has come out. After that, sprinkle this little water. Now just tell yourself, it's just water I sprinkled. Okay? So you don't have that wuzu. If you are sure, this doubt, it removes that doubt. Otherwise, how many people, their wuzu, there are people, istinja, they just don't finish. Washing hands, they don't just finish. All that doubt shaitan puts. So a Muslim must be positive. And how our deen has taught us in everything, be positive and carry on with your work. And a person who does this, then shaitan will go away from him. Our Buzurs explained, you are walking the road and a dog is barking at you. The more you pay attention to him, the more he will come and bark at you. You ignore him, you'll carry on. Small children like to play fools about old people. And you try and chase them away. The same famous story of that one comedian, that he had a fruit tree in front of his house and he wanted the children to eat the fruit of the tree. But whenever they came and they ate little, he should come out and chase them away. So the people said, you want them to eat, why you chase them away? He said, their psychology is such that if you leave them, they won't come again. But they enjoy that you are chasing them away. So they come again and I want them to eat. So I chase them away, they'll come again. And they wait for me to come out again and to chase them away again. So that is what shaitan does. If we pay attention to him, if we ignore him and we carry on, he will also disappear. He is useless making effort on this person. Let me go and try somewhere else. So this is a very important point with regard to our sincerity intention. Main apne ghar mein bahut zyada ulajhta hoon. Or this is also a very important matter for all of us. Aur deeni muamlaat mein bahut zyada sakhti karta hoon. Isme bhi dil mein dikhawa paida hota hai. In the home, I fight with everyone. Because, alhamdulillah, he's got piety in him, he likes his deen, and people are a bit away from deen. He writes in front TV, for example, they don't make parda properly, so I fight with them. And so I fight with everyone in the house, and this is also many of us, with everyone in the house, we are fighting all the time. And in that also sometimes the thought comes to me, I'm doing it for sure. Hazrat writes, ye tariqa nihayat na munasib hai. Just fighting with everyone, shouting everyone, you're doing this, you're watching TV, you're not making parda, you're doing this wrong, shouting everyone. As I say, there's a very, very wrong way of doing things. Aap ghar ke sarparast nahi hai. You are not the head in the family. You are just one of the sons. And now you're acting like you are the boss, you are the big person. Isliye aapki tabligh sirf ye hai. What your tabligh is in the house is only this much, ke khud kisi guna mein sharik na ho. That you yourself don't partake in any guna that is taking place. They are watching TV, you don't take part and watch TV. They are doing other wrong things, you don't do those wrong things. Sharik na ho. Lekin ghar walo se na ulje, but don't fight with the house people. And the easiest way, start with kitab reading. That is the easiest way. Or muhabbat se pesh aaye. And you show good character to them. You make the khidmat. What do you need? What do you want? How can I help you? When they will see this will change everything. Ye khamosh tabligh bahut mu'sir hogi, inshallah. This, and in your heart is, why are you doing this, even that khidmat? so that they must stop with all this. They must see your character and that. And they will see you're not telling them anything. This quiet tabligh will be very effective, Hazrat Sahib. That you are not telling them, you are making their khidmat, you are showing them your goodness, good character, you are speaking good to them. They will be all influenced by that tremendously. But by fighting with them and shouting them all the time, they are going to hate you. And whatever good little you're going to say, that also they're going to hate. One instance of our country many years ago, one person also, elderly person, and the family they bought, and the daughters bought a TV, and he started watching and that, and he was righteous, pious, he couldn't tolerate it at all. The more he told them, the more they were adamant. Then he told them they must break the TV, etc. They ordered him out of the house. And he's the head of the family, but they ordered him out. That was the time when there was a ijtima, and Hazrat Ji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was here, and he was very parishan, so he explained his condition to Hazrat Ji. Hazrat Ji said, why you broke the usul? Our usul is not to fight with anyone or anything. All you do is tell them you can do 23 hours, 50 minutes, whatever you want to. But 10 minutes you give to me for ta'aleem. That's all. And he did that in 2 weeks, they themselves throughout the TV. So this is the thing that was muhabbat, piyar, and the other very important thing in all this, that we must have that Qur'an in the heart. In the heart we must have, how can the people get this hidayat? Maulana Kaleem Siddiqui, Damat Barakatuh, one place this year when he came, somebody asked him, don't you get inviting the Hindus to Islam? Don't you get, today you invite Muslims, you get opposition. When you invite them for namaz, for this, don't you get opposition? He says, if you got their welfare at heart, really you got it at heart, how can this person get saved from the fire of Jahannam? When we can't tolerate a small match flame, candle flame in this world, how you know the qabr, the day of Qiyamah? And with that feeling you will speak, then it will have that effect. But if you want to show points you can talk about and you want to try and impress, then it won't work. Then it will be the opposite. May Allah give us all profit. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.